Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, and this is Thomas, your host today. I had just called back in because it sounded like we were having a sound audio problem. So hopefully this is crystal clear here today. December the 10th, 2015. It's Wednesday night, Thursday morning. You can visit us at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. You can also can check out my YouTube, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. My name's Thomas, your host. We're here every Wednesday night. Today's, and this is called the Philosophy Show. And today's show, the title is The Great Role Reversal, Cats in the Cradle of Civilization, and Phone Book Politics. So it's one of those kind of titles that has, it's saying more than one thing. And so, and also it can stray off that course, if you'd like, with your phone calls. Feel free to call in. Our guest call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. And so there's a lot going on in the news, and there's been a lot going on in history, and doesn't mean we have to talk about them. I mean, out of all the news that's reported, what percentage of that, you know, is really happening? Or how relevant is it? Is it guiding us? Is there a objective to today's news cycle? Do they search for news, or are they just all fed it? I mean, if I want to talk about the news, I mean, what's going on in the news? There's like climate debates, there's debate on terrorism, there's debates on Muslims in America, Donald Trump, the presidential race. You know, there's entertainment news. Star Wars is coming out soon. You know, there's technology news. To give it all meaning, there is philosophy. So, now, the title again is The Great Role Reversal, Cats in the Cradle of Civilization and Phone Book Politics. Now, if you listen to last week's show, there is a part of it. I mean, this is a half an hour show, folks, so you know, so if you want to call in, you know, we have about 25 more minutes to do so. And if you have a show idea, yeah, definitely share it and be happy to hear that. Now, the great role reversal, the first part of the title, is yet last week I was alluding to just a moment ago. I said something like, you know, I think in regards to how we treat how people should treat Muslims, per se, in the USA is like how you want to be treated. You know, put yourself in that role reversal. And we should do that in lots of different situations. But I said I think, you know, we should treat people like we assume that they revere and love the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and what, you know, basically America should be about, freedom and respecting others and getting along with everyone else as long as you don't hurt anyone else. And you know what? Most people in all groups are like a silent majority. They just want to be left alone. And even beyond groups, I mean, just look at a group of cells, yourself as an individual. I mean, that is the ultimate ideal. And, you know, that's why we have due process. You know, we don't collect data on everyone instantly, and we don't prosecute a whole group all at once, because we wouldn't want to be. So, but I said that that's how we should treat people in here. But I also said that doesn't mean I think we should take in any more Syrian refugees. Not that we shouldn't stop immigration. I didn't say that. We should have closer checks on them from some countries right now. But I don't think we need to take in any more refugees. I mean, the amount that we take, yeah, you could say that they all count as individuals, right? That was a point that I just made. But it's not a big number, and the amount of money it would cost to set it all up, we should really help them over there and create safe zones and stuff like that. And I also said that we should either really get out of there or do a Marshall Plan like we did in Europe and Japan after the World War II war. And and we know we're not going to do a Marshall Plan, or I guess we're not. I mean, I don't see it in the foreseeable future, although that would be good. If you broke something, you fix it. We create a great trading partner. I mean, and et cetera, and friends, create friends and, you know, hopefully as strong as Europe, and have more peace and prosperity for everyone and learn from all our artists and scientists and exchange ideas through students and things like that. Yeah, there's millions of refugees there. So I don't know if 10,000, yeah, it's almost like, you know, maybe the money would be better spent if we more try to fix the problem over there immediately. And you know, until we get some of the immigration things better resolved, we should maybe sometimes adjust the amounts based on certain things, like our economy and other things like that. But I don't know. I do understand the idea of free travel and, you know, this is a Earth, and who's to say you're not able to travel, you know, and you shouldn't be have guilt by association. Okay, so here's the ultimate thing. I'm sure many people can understand all sides of the story. And again, we're open to debates. We're trying to open minds, and ultimately, I don't know if it's constitutional or not, or that's, you know, real strength is, you know, how free you allow one to be and have people do things for the right decisions rather than, you know, being coerced to do them. And have things very well organized as well. And so imagine if you were Muslim and you were told, like, imagine when they announced, you know, no one that's like you, whatever it might be that differentiates you from the majority of others, that's are going to be coming into the U.S. for at least the next 3 years, because some other people like you have done terroristic acts. We know it's not everybody, but is that, do you think, are they going to renew that in 3 years? Is the war on terrorism ever going to end? Do you see it really ever ending? You know how to end it? Get out of there. Either create a Marshall Plan, and if you don't know what the Marshall Plan is, please Wikipedia Marshall Plan, or Google or YouTube it or something. I'm not going to go into that right now, but that's some history there. But it's a total reversal of how we ended World War One versus World War Two. You know, World War One, there was the Treaty of Versailles, and then in World War Two, there's a Marshall Plan. Two totally different approaches that created two totally different ideas. Now, it's not a double-blind study or test, nor are we willing to be guinea pigs, you know. But, yeah, imagine, you know, I mean, you know you're innocent, but, you know, you're going to restrict your freedom of travel. And how would that make, you know, is that just? Is that fair? Is that our biggest problem? And are there not other ways to fix it? I mean, again, getting out of there. If we're completely out of it, it's not like we're giving up. No, we're just letting them do it on their own. Now, if we, I'm sure in some situations we can have strategic special forces, the people that really, you know, are gung-ho about doing different jobs and jobs that are not willy-nilly but very important. And we can have big influences in trade and just in the political arena. I mean, we should have a dialogue every single week. And a lot of mediums do, but that is, like, respected. That's on national news. That's getting just as much attention as these presidential debates. And it should have not just moderators, especially not just moderators from our mainstream news, because that would have no credibility, hardly. You know, maybe I'm being a little brash there, but, you know, this is, we're just having fun here, right? So, but different leaders and different, like, work for different nonprofit organizations. Some people maybe you never heard of, but that are able to debate and express their views and not feel like that they're not able to, but that they can express views on all different sides, not just Republican. And, you know, are you a Republican and Democrat? You know, someone asked me that today, and I had to tell them I was an independent. And, but we got along, but, yeah, I'm an independent. Now sometimes I'll change the party. So like, if I like someone in the, you know, I've changed my party for Ron Paul before, from independent to Republican, so I could vote for him in the primary. And this year I'm really considering changing it to a Democrat to vote for Bernie Sanders for the exact same reason, you know, and, because we need the most honest person that we can get in there, who the establishment doesn't like and who's also principled and not crazy. And, you know, I don't think you have a lot to worry about with Bernie Sanders. He has a 30-year track record. But anyways, back to the dialogue. I don't agree with everything he does and says, and hopefully he would be part of the dialogue. And, you know, I mean, if this was like national, it could have, you know, Palestinians and Israelis and Republicans and Democrats, people that are totally against government spying, like Edward Snowden versus, you know, Donald Trump or something, but everyone would have equal time. And Muslims and fundamentalist Christians on there, and just, I think it would be great. And they just speak freely, just get it all out, the ugliest fears, the brightest hopes, and giving everyone equal time. And that's the way to do it. And if people get angry, let's just let out the words instead of the guns until they wear themselves out and are able to talk like rational people. And it'll eventually get to that. I mean, sometimes people have to let it out first. It's better to duke it out with words and arguments and dialogue than it is, you know, guns. And I think it could get pretty heated up. Like, we should challenge the president of Iran to aid debates in the UN, like have a two-hour debate. We've seen the great chess masters like the U.S. against the old Soviet Union. Let's have a real like Lincoln, Douglas, whatever debates. But our politicians, like Donald Trump, does have a good point. They're weak. They're pathetic. They're, you know, they flip-flop and, you know, I'm sure some of them could muster it. There are some good politicians. I'm not saying there aren't. But I don't know too many. I think Bernie Sanders running is. I think Rand Paul pretty much is. I think he is, actually. I think some of the people running as independent third-party candidates, I think I've interviewed over 60 independent and third-party candidates. You can see them on my YouTube channel. They're always one in every race, and I think the Congress is something we need to get more passionate about, whether, you know, Sanders or Trump wins the election. I mean, those are the two most popular candidates, and the way I'd see it, if the elections reflect what people are really thinking, it probably would be Sanders versus Trump. And I don't, whether Trump might go off or not, I don't know. He might lose support. Maybe Rand Paul, who would be, you know, Iowa has had a couple of people go up and down. I mean, it's been Trump, and that's the first state that the elections and creates the momentum. It has Trump. It's been Trump. It's been Ben Carson. Now it's Ted Cruz. I think Rubio is rising, and at the beginning, Jeb Bush and Rand Paul. So it's totally possible. I mean, it's. I hope that's what happens. Maybe he's not trying to win. I don't know. I think some people aren't trying to win. I think Trump is just trying to push it as far as he can and just sees. He's like, I don't really want. I'm just going to, you know, if I win, I win. But, you know, sometimes I'm going to see if I can knock myself down and see if it's even possible. Let me just test the limits of what I'm going to say. And so, you know what, and this goes to phone book politics for a second here, and we'll get back to Cats in the Cradle of Civilization, but phone book politics, I think really honestly we could honestly, and I've said this one time before, but, and it might be a good thing, we could, you know how we have two senators from each state, one of them should be elected and one of them should be randomly selected out of a lottery. And like out of a phone book, you know, or maybe like one out of every 5 years, we select someone who we elect. And then that one out of five terms, we just pick someone randomly out of a phone book for Congress or something. And, you know, I honestly don't know if it would be, you'd have some bad ones. You'd have mostly, you know, normal people. But honestly, you're going to get regular people. You're going to get what the founders intended is to have people from all walks of life and who aren't bought and sold by special interests. It would have to be very sure and open and transparent to make sure it is randomly selected. And you can't be selected twice or something like that. But unless you're elected. I don't know. There has to be. I haven't thought it out completely. It's just the main premise is that you could randomly probably select people. It's not giving it to powerful people. This is just random. But I do think, you know, of course, you know, I think we should have elections probably still on paper. I mean, I think elections are very important. And I think when we free all the people that are in the prisons for nonviolent crimes where they haven't hurt anyone else except supposedly themselves, they should get their voting rights, of course, back. And actually, if you do the time, you know, you do the time. I mean, should that carry on? Is that cruel and unusual punishment? Is it political? And there's questions to ask and think about and put yourself in a role reversal. What if it was you who were unlucky, let's say you were even just hanging out with someone who had a joint on them and you were arrested and they threatened you and somehow you got caught up in the system and you were sentenced to 20 years in prison because you were with your kid or something like that and the state you happen to live in has a little stricter laws. the judges are paid or incentivized, or the prosecutors, not to find the truth, but to have another victim in this machine that, you know, kind of gets a mind of its own sometimes, where we're just on autopilots and, you know, we're not in control. We're just in survival mode. And it's not even us that's trying to survive. You know, we blame things on others. Always evil witch hunt. You know what Cats in the Cradle actually came from? In supposedly in the whatever medieval days or pre-Renaissance or something, you know, it was some hokey pokey or a it was just a tale that people used to believe that. And I Googled this, and this answer was on, you know, the petplace.com, Cats in a Cradle, what does the phrase mean? And it was, you know, people thought the cat, like they would say, don't put the cat near the baby, because the baby could suck the very breath of life out of the baby and, you know, could cause it to die. And, So I don't know. Hopefully they didn't kill any cats because of that. But that is, you know, the types of things that can influence our decisions that we make in everyday life with our personal relationships or who we vote for, what we think is the right thing. And, I mean, we are being ripped off. Donald Trump is right again. I mean, honestly, let me give him a... I do think he has a potential fascist thing, and I don't want any fascism. Actually, I think I'm leaning more towards Bernie Sanders because of that. But I think it is important that he calls out these Republicans for who they really are, these lapdogs and these lapdog media. Because what is worse? I mean, yes, Donald Trump is bad, but is he any worse? The other people seem more normal. They're not able to speak up for themselves. And they have no class because they're lapdogs. But therefore wars, therefore mass killing. Donald Trump didn't even want to go into the war in Iraq. Therefore, and I'm not saying Donald Trump's better, but I'm saying these people are worse. Don't forget. And now, you know, I mean, they're the ones who want this war on drugs. They're the ones who want, you know, strong special interest groups that can keep funding their campaigns, whether it's the energy companies or the medical companies or the military and security companies and contractors or construction or whoever. And not to say we shouldn't be investing in some areas, but I'm just saying these, it's gone to the point these people are totally sold out, and they're not thinking levelly or in their best interests. In fact, probably a lot of them are intimidated by all that money and, you know, that Trumpism. So, yeah, before people start criticizing, and I'm glad the media all of a sudden just jumped on this chance to be act all noble and say that you crossed the line there, Trump. But they never crossed the line, you know, breaking our rights and freedoms in lots of other ways every day. And sometimes they do stick up for stuff like that and bring attention to it. So, again, I don't want to just paint everyone in a broad brush, but people want access so bad. It's the politicians who should want access to you, not you wanting access to them. And you can get that access just standing outside, and if they refuse to talk to you, that says something about themselves too. But I think, yeah, you had forgot that. And you're too scared to do that. So some people aren't, though. So we did a little bit of role reversal today. There's lots of different things you can do. In fact, people who you disagree with, it would be a good idea to, you know, whether you're Republican or liberal or whatever, to do a role reversal in your minds. Like, just see where that person's, just try to discipline yourself to spend like 5 minutes person's shoes, maybe 4 minutes. And just to see what their motivation is. I mean, and try to, give them the benefit of the doubt just as a mental exercise. Yes, this is a philosophy show. This is the kind of stuff we're asking you to do. But, Ron Paul had a good response. He made a vlog on his channel, which I have a link to in my favorite channels on my YouTube channel. There's like about 70 of them, and I'm going to add like about 25 more really great channels to check out. Some of them I check out more than others, some for different reasons, but they're all there. And, if I had a network station, that's what would be playing on it at all different. I'd have to figure out what days and what times to put different ones, but, maybe that's a problem, but, I think it's fun, but, anyone can do it. And, these solutions that they give us, though, I mean, it's crazy. It's like after those shootings in California, what's the solution? Let's do things that never would have stopped problem in the first place. Not to say might not potentially stop future ones, but they always do stuff after 9/11. Like, let's pass the Patriot Act, which hasn't caught anyone, but instead let's, take years before we implement the common sense thing, like locking, the cockpit doors and having the baggage area like reinforced and, just common sense hardware things. It's like people always want to change the software, but sometimes you need a new hardware. And, you don't have to be too smart if you have the right tools. But I like to do it the hard way, not using the right hardware. It's what would stop this is honestly either being serious if we go to the Middle East or not. I mean, either really create democracies there, and you have to do it. I mean, otherwise we're just wasting our time, and let's go. Let's go then and completely leave. Let oil be determined by the actual market price. You know how much of a subsidy the wars are to certain benefactors, by coincidence, it's costing us a treasure in the best people and money and livelihoods and resources and time and effort and momentum and the future, something that's very precious and we all have very, very little time of here that we know of. It's very important. If you don't have the standards to respect that of yourself, then I pity the fool who doesn't. So that was today's show. We have about one more minute left, and thank you for listening to the Philosophy Show today. So pick up a phone book, because you never know. You just open it at random, and you might be looking at the next congressperson, or at least we could pick a person at random and then just give them like $1 million to run on and just let them run against the other two with a big budget and see if they are and they can run ads and be in the debates and see if they win. I don't know. Or anyways, thank you for listening to the Philosophy Show, and this has been episode number 100 and 16. All right. Well, take care, and take care.